Between May 1918 and October 1919, there was a jazz fan on the loose in New Orleans. Wait, that's not right. Let me try that again. Between May 1918 and October 1919, there was a killer on the loose in New Orleans. On May 22nd, 1918, while Joseph Maggio and his wife Catherine were asleep in bed, someone broke into their home to kill them. They lived above their retail space, where they sold groceries and ran a bar, but the killer didn't seem to be interested in the valuable food and alcohol in the shop below. He came, it seems, for them. He cut their throats with a razor blade, most likely because it was quiet. But after he was done, the killer took his axe and proceeded to bash the heads of both victims to an indefinable mess. Maybe it was to hide the killing wound. Maybe it was to let out some sort of personal rage he felt toward them. No one knows. History just remembers the crime scene. Catherine died instantly, but her husband Joseph actually managed to survive through the night until his brothers Jake and Andrew discovered him. But he only held on for a while, dying just moments after they arrived, and so the police were brought in. The authorities found the razor and traced it back to Joseph's brother Andrew, who was quickly arrested. But the facts didn't line up. There were, however, multiple reports of an unknown man lurking near the Maggio home prior to the murders. And so the police released Andrew and went looking for the real killer. Unfortunately, the killer was already on the move. 1 month later, on June 27, Louis Bessemer and Harriet Lowe were asleep in the apartment behind Bessemer's grocery store when a man quietly walked into the room. The stranger then struck both of the sleeping victims in the head with an axe he found elsewhere in the apartment. Both suffered fractured skulls and were taken to the hospital. Bessemer survived, but Harriet Lowe died a little over a month later, on August 5th. That same night, one Mrs. Schneider, 28 years old and 8 months pregnant, was taking a late afternoon nap. She awoke to find a dark figure of a man standing over her. The man proceeded to beat her head and face. She too survived, and weeks later, she gave birth to a healthy baby girl. On August 10th, Joseph Romano, an elderly man who lived with his two nieces, was attacked by a man in his apartment with an axe. The two women saw the attacker and described him as dark-skinned and heavy-set, but that didn't explain how he entered the house, as the only point of entry was a single missing panel that had been chiseled out of the home's door. Charles Cortimiglia, his wife Rosie, and their infant daughter Mary were all attacked on March 10, 1919 while they slept. A bloody axe was found on the back porch, near the door. The door, mind you, that had a missing panel. 3 days later, on March 13, the New Orleans Times-Picayune received a letter from someone claiming to be the killer. Here's a sample of what it said. "They have never caught me, and they never will. Now, to be exact, at 12:15 next Tuesday night, I am going to pass over New Orleans. In my infinite mercy, I'm going to make a little proposition to you people. Here it is. I'm very fond of jazz music, and I swear by all the devils in the nether regions that every person shall be spared in whose home a jazz band is in full swing at the time I have just mentioned. If everyone has a jazz band going, well, then so much the better for you people. One thing is certain, and that is that some of your people who do not jazz it on Tuesday night will get the axe." The city complied, and jazz was played across town that night, in homes and social clubs. True to his word, the killer spared the people of New Orleans, but just for the night. More attacks followed. Steve Boca, another grocer, oddly enough, was attacked on August 10th. Sarah Lauman was the next victim on September 3rd, but it was the final attack on October 27 that left the darkest stain on the city's memory. That night, Mike Pepitone's wife was pulled from sleep to the sound of her husband screaming. She ran to his bedroom and found him covered in blood that flowed from a massive head wound. She also saw the killer. And then it was over. The killer disappeared. No one went to trial. No one was held accountable for the murders that plagued the city for nearly 2 years. It all just came to an end, like the silence after the final notes of a jazz tune. And that was the end. Or maybe not. You see, on December 2nd, 1920, a man was walking through the dark streets of Los Angeles, 2,000 miles from New Orleans, when a figure stepped out of the shadows. The figure held no axe, though. This time it was a gun, and a moment later, Joseph Mumfre lay dead on the street. Mumfre, you see, was originally from New Orleans. He was an ex-con who had been released from prison just before the axe murders had begun in 1918, and he had moved to LA just a week after the murder of Mike Pepitone. The killer stood over Mumfre's body, gun in hand, while sirens drew closer and closer. There was no panic or flight from the scene, so when the LA police arrived minutes later, it was a simple matter to take the killer into custody. Her name was Esther Albano, but we would know her by another name, Mrs. Mike Pepitone.